A series, 6 weeks. This is the sixth week on life in the Spirit. Now, let me just pause and say the reason we are doing this series is because we are in a church. Part of our vision is that we are a Spirit-led church, and that we are a Spirit-filled church, and that we go out through the power of the Spirit. And so for us to be that church that says we're a Spirit church, and we should understand what it means to live a life in the Spirit. We talked in the first week about the promise of the Spirit. We talked in the second week about being filled with the Spirit, because that is something that happens to you, and there is evidence that it happens. Brother Caskey talked about being full of the Spirit. Brother Demas talked about being led of the Spirit. Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and we want to end everything with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you were here last week and you were hoping that I was going to go, you know, take 20 minutes on each fruit, and we're, you know, if you were hoping for that, that's not what we did. The point of last week was more about the idea that the fruits flow naturally from being connected to the right source. That's what we talked about. And so the focus shouldn't be on the fruits. The focus should be on being connected to the right source. As Psalms would say, to be planted by the rivers of living water, which gives forth fruit in its season. Right? So we don't focus on the fruit, we focus on where we're planted and where we're spending our time. So you can imagine we're not going to go spend 20 minutes on each of the 9 gifts tonight either. It's going to be a similar ending, but I want to take us there on a journey and I want to explain some things as we go. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. This is the main verse you'll go to if someone's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it's all of 1 Corinthians 12, it's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's 1 Corinthians 14. These are what describe what is known as the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to start here, and then I'll actually introduce the topic. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, I'm not going to stop after every verse. Later, here we will. I just want to set the stage. The word gifts was added because the translators know that he's about to talk about gifts. But Paul actually said, now concerning spirituals, concerning spiritual things, concerning this idea of the Spirit in your lives, he's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. Paul's kind of starting high level. All the things that are out there that are spiritual, I don't want you to be ignorant. He says, I want you to understand spiritual things and how the Spirit works. He's saying these shouldn't be a secret or a mystery. Okay, verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles. So he's writing to a church in Corinth that was not Jewish. They don't have the Jewish heritage, the one God heritage. He says you were carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. He's telling them all you knew prior was this service to idols. This is going to be a little bit different for you. This God is actually working among you, and you should expect to see powerful manifestations of his Spirit. This isn't like an idol where you bring your sacrifices every so often and nothing happens. There should be something that happens. That's what Paul's saying. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul is introducing a broad principle before he starts talking about the gifts. He's essentially saying that gifts should be judged on if they glorify Jesus. That's what he's saying. You might say, well, is that really? Well, imagine, remember what Jesus said. He said, the Holy Spirit will testify of me. Right? That's what Jesus said, not Peter. The Holy Spirit said it would testify of him. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit should align with the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, if you're curious, this should all align with the ministry of Jesus Christ. You came here, you were followers of Christ, you've been converted, you've been filled with God's Spirit. Listen, gifts should be judged on if they glorify Jesus. Verse 4, this is where he starts to add some words. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Paul is saying there's different gifts, there's different ministries, there's different activities, but it's all the same God. There's not different gods. There's not an idol for this and a god for that and the sun god for this. And He knows the culture he's writing to. He's like, there's one God that gives gifts, that gives different, he said, different gifts, different ministries, different activities. And that one Spirit is working in all of us. It's not that you have a Spirit that works for you and you have a Spirit that works for you. It's like that one Spirit is working in all of us. And then he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. He's talking about this, that the manifestation is how the Spirit is seen or impacts those around them. How we notice it. He's saying the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. It's not just for one person. We're not just given the gifts, he's saying. The Spirit isn't manifested. We don't see it for this one person. It's for everyone. And he's also saying it's not for personal gain. And can I just say, if it ever were to become so, we need to watch out. We saw that with Simon. I want some money. What can I? No. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's interesting because he introduces this topic here in 1 Corinthians 12. But then we also read in Romans 12, and we'll go through some of these here, where it talks about gifts or functions of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks about offices that God gives us. And so if you're keeping track, not to confuse us, Paul mentions spiritual gifts, ministries, activities, offices, and fruit. It could be confusing. So tonight, just like we did with the fruit of the Spirit, before I get into what the gifts of the Spirit is, I want us to better understand what the spirituals overall before we can understand the gifts of the Spirit. Can we start there? Is that okay? We're going to tonight discuss the gift of the Spirit, singular. The offices God has given the church, the functional gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to go through a little application, and then I want to finish with a summary of our series. I recognize this is a big topic. I'm going to try not to go super fast, but also stay with me, okay? So let's start with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. I've been talking a lot in 1 Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit. That's what Paul's talking about. That's a very different word than the gift of the Spirit. You might have heard this phrase before, the gift of the Spirit, when Peter talked in Acts 2:38. And he said, if you repent and be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about that God's Spirit, when it comes to live inside of you, is a gift. It's a free thing. It's given to you. It's not just that verse for the people that say you Pentecostals love to Acts 2:38. Acts 10:45, it says the gift of the Spirit has been poured out. Luke 11:13, Jesus said the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, he says, God who has also given us his Holy Spirit. I've got like 14 verses there. You can go look it up, but the Holy Spirit is noted in the New Testament as a gift that is given to us. So imagine the Holy Spirit is this present that is given to us. It is God's Spirit living in our lives. I think it gets confusing at times because we use the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and a lot of people confuse them to be the same thing. The Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us is a gift. That is a gift. But then that Spirit that lives inside of us gives us gifts. That's the gifts of the Spirit. Does that make sense, the difference? There is the gift that God gives us, which is his Spirit living inside of us. And when his Spirit is living inside of us, and it is actively working inside of us, and we are submitting to it, that Spirit should produce gifts and fruits in our life. So the gifts of the Spirit would normally follow being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So when you're filled with God's Spirit, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost, then that Spirit will give you spiritual gifts, and it will manifest in different ways. I think that that gets confusing at times, because if you've watched the YouTube videos, people say, well, the spiritual gifts, you know, that they got the spiritual gift on the day of Pentecost. Or there's some confusion there. And so I want to make sure it's very clear that those are different things. As an example, how many people have ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit, which is faith? We've heard of that. Please raise your hands. Come on. Oh, my goodness. We're starting over. The fruit of the Spirit, which is faith. Well, the Bible says that God gives every man a measure of faith. So everybody has faith. But then we hear that if we are aligned with God and His Spirit is working in us, we will produce the fruit of faith in our life. But also there's the gift of faith that not everyone has. And so you can almost see, I don't want to call them levels, but you can see these different levels of faith that can happen in someone's life. So that's the gift of the Spirit, God's Spirit coming to live inside of you, the gift of the Spirit. In Ephesians, we read about this idea of these offices that God has given the church. They're often called leadership offices, or we might know them as the fivefold ministry. That means that there's five offices that make up the ministry. And Paul pretty much says everybody that's doing leadership roles in the church will fit into one of these five. Like leadership, we'll get to that in a minute. These are people or offices that God gives to the church. These are not abilities. You don't all of a sudden get the ability to pastor, right? These are roles and offices that God gives the church. God calls people to these roles or offices, and typically we should see and recognize that this is what's in their life when they're in that role. God will call somebody. And you might see somebody that God has called to be a teacher, and then they go teach and be like, wow, they are a teacher. They are functioning in the role of a teacher. So let's read Ephesians 4, 7 through 16 to understand the offices God has given the church. Verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he himself gave some to be apostles. So that's the first one. There's apostles. Some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So that's why they call it the fivefold ministry. These are the different offices. And then in verse 12 it says, sorry, I skipped from 7 to 11. In verse 12 it says why those five offices exist. So if you are a pastor, or an evangelist, a teacher, a preacher, or apostle, your role is to, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul is essentially saying that God has given us these five offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are not necessarily abilities. These are people, their roles, their offices that people are called to, okay? And the purpose of these, the reason I'm taking the time to explain offices is because these are not the gifts of the Spirit. These are not the functional gifts, and these are not the gift of the Spirit, God's presence living in your life. So the purpose of this fivefold ministry, if we read through this, and I'm not going to read through it again, is one, to equip the saints. That is my job as a pastor, is to equip the saints. The second thing is to mature believers, which is part of that is building and growing the body. We think of, oh, look, let's get more people in church. Yeah, but more importantly, as pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, apostles, our job is to help equip you and grow you. That's why sometimes it may feel uncomfortable, because we all want to be comfortable sitting on our couch playing sneaky Sasquatch. But I got to grow you. You know, it's my job. And so sometimes we have to have difficult conversations. So the purpose of the fivefold ministry, equip the saints, mature the believers, build and grow the body. And then he says unity. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to unify the church in Christ, and he also talks about for the edifying of itself in love. So to equip, build, grow, unify, all in love. And he finishes in verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." So he's saying we are not to walk as our minds want. We are not to walk in the flesh, doing everything that we want, everything that slides across our brain. We are to walk in the Spirit. So we talked about the gift of the Spirit, and then we talked about the offices that God has given the church. Now I want to talk about what I'm going to call functional gifts. You might hear them called ministry gifts or service gifts. Also, people call them grace gifts. Let's read from Romans 12, verse 5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Paul is describing a different type of gifting here. He's not talking about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking about these more functional gifts. And he says that we're all members of the body of Christ. We're all part of this family. We're all needed. And he also says we all have different functions. We all play a different role. Each is given different gifts and different functions. We are different individuals. We're unique, but we're all part of the body of Christ. So when I say we all have different functions, what I mean is that he notes these gifts. Let me give some. He notes prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, which is a biblical way of saying like encouraging or calling people to God. He notes giving as a gift. He notes leading, and he notes showing mercy. Okay, so let's make sure we know what he's not describing here so we can understand. These are not offices like he talked about in Ephesians 4. These are not pastors, apostles, preachers, teachers. It's not what he's talking about. These are not fruit that is developed over in our lives as we walk in the Spirit. These are not fruits that are developed. These are not spectacular or supernatural moments. We're going to get to that with the gifts of the Spirit. So if they're not offices and they're not fruit and they're not spectacular supernatural moments, what are these that he's talking about? I think we should think of these more like a disposition, a function, a character. Even those words aren't great. Let me explain it to you this way. When I started, and I think I've shared this, when I started at my last company, there was this idea in my mind what it took to be a good project manager. You had to be, you know, detailed and organized and all this stuff, right? And I felt like I was a good communicator, but none of the people I looked up to I thought were great communicators. And I'm like, well, I can't be that, right? It was after about 11 years at my company that I realized that I had a gift for communicating with clients and with people in the field. I knew how to explain things to them. I don't know if we're figuring it out here, but I knew how to do it in construction, right? And when I started to lean in to the gift that God has given me as a communicator, things flourished for me. Now, did it mean I didn't have to be organized? No, but I didn't focus on organization at the expense of communication. And so there has to be a moment where we start to realize that God has given us personality traits and giftings that are to be used for his kingdom, and he's given them to us as we're born. And I'm going to add this. I don't know if I can find it in Scripture. I think it's there when you talk to Peter and tribulations and trials and persecutions. But when we go through things, God used that to sharpen us. And it develops things in us to help us grow. And so he's not talking about fruits. He's not talking about offices. He's not talking about supernatural moments. He's talking about something that God has placed in you from the day you were born. And it might be that you have a heart to serve. It might be that you are a person that is like so encouraging. I look at some people sometimes that write thank you notes, and I'm like, that is so cool. Like, I wish I could remember to write thank you notes. So I'm sorry in advance, right? Like, I'm not great at that. It doesn't come to my mind first. I should do it. It doesn't mean I can just not do things because it's not a strength. But then we see, you see people, you see them in your life, you look at them, whether they're Christians or not, you can see giftings and personalities that when they start to function in them, their lives grow. And whatever they're working on succeeds. And so for us, it's very important that we understand what these giftings, traits, or functions God has given us and begin to work in them and work to develop them. Because if they are something that's part of who we are, they can be developed and we can get better at them. I love the fact that he says, and I know it's in parentheses, but the translators are trying to show us something here. He goes, let us use them. Let us prophesy. Let us use it. I think what we're learning from Paul is that if when we start to realize giftings that God has given us, we need to use it. If God has made you an organizer, you need to use it. If God has made you a server, you need to use it. If God has made you an encourager, you need to use it. If you are great at welcoming people, you need to use it. But I think before we do that, yes, you can go try some things out. I think that's a good thing. But also start praying, God, what are the giftings you've already given me in my life? What are these functional gifts that you've prepared in me? Maybe through difficult times, maybe just because I was born, maybe a combination of all. But what are they? Because I want to start to work in the gifts you've already given me. So, does that make sense? We're talking about functional gifts. Now, we know we talked last week about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God being developed and shown in the life of a Spirit-filled believer as they walk and abide in the Spirit. It's something that's developed. It just doesn't, be like, oranges, Doesn't work that way, okay? The fruit of the Spirit happens in our lives when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're living in the Spirit, when we're planted in the things of God. The gifts are different than the fruits of the Spirit. Imagine the fruit just like a tree, okay? It's very, very good analogy. Jack got a sunflower again, and it's now like 20 inches tall, okay? And I guarantee you, in 3 months, that thing's going to be shedding seeds everywhere. It's going to be super annoying. But that sunflower is growing over time. And we will see fruit from that sunflower. We will see some growth from that sunflower over time. The gifts of the Spirit, as I start to talk about them, are very different. The gifts are various ways in which God's power works through the life of the believer. They only operate when needed. Otherwise, they're not always evident. Like, as we grow in God and we start to see the fruits in our life, and we should all see, if we are walking in the Spirit, we should see the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We can all see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We should all expect to see that if we are walking in the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are only there when needed. Otherwise, they are not evident. So let's get to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll finish our reading at verse 8. We're going to start reading at 8. We read 1 through 7 already. But before that, I want to talk. So in 12 verse 7, we finished. Paul calls them manifestations of the Spirit. These are supernatural manifestations. They're Spirit empowered and Spirit directed. There's nothing it's not you conjuring something. Okay, so if you're thinking that, like, I'm going to take the pressure off you. The gifts of the Spirit are typically momentary. They're not permanent. When I say not permanent, it's not like you have the gift of healing and now for the rest of your life, everybody you touch at any point, all of a sudden is healed. What I mean is it's for specific moments, okay? It's not permanent, although someone could find that they are used more and more in one or more of these gifts and then become comfortable recognizing the Spirit leading them and become comfortable operating in them. So while the gifts aren't like active in your life in every second, like maybe some of the fruits might be as you grow in God, the gifts of the Spirit, you can, as God starts to use you in a gift, you might understand it more and be like, oh, I recognize now that was the Spirit telling me to do that, and I did it, and the gift of the Spirit was evident there. And so now I'm going to be paying attention to that voice, so when I'm in situations and that Spirit speaks to me, I'm going to pray for that person and they're going to be healed. Or maybe I'm going to pray for somebody and they're not going to be healed, but I'm going to know because the Spirit's going to speak to me and say, this is where I want you. There's 9 gifts that Paul mentions. And while he mentions 9, and I think this is a pretty good list, I don't think we're limited to that list. Okay? I'm sure others, the Spirit can manifest itself in any way it wants. But these are the nine that Paul mentions. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But to one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. So Paul lists nine gifts of the Spirit, and he finishes by saying the Spirit, the one Spirit, works all these, distributing to each one individually as he will. Okay, so let's go through the nine. I'm going to break them into three groups. Okay, and these are the three groups that are in our Bible study that we went through last year. The first group is what they would call the knowing group. It is the discerning of spirits, the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge. The discerning of spirits, I'm going to go through these high level. Okay, if you were to Google search for truth 2 and gifts of the Spirit, you might find these definitions. Okay, discerning of spirits. This is the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine and between what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not of the Holy Spirit. You've heard people sometimes maybe say, that felt off. And they might not understand what they're feeling, but they might be, don't go home, start telling your spouse, oh, I was off, I'm discerning, you know. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't take a discerning spirit, it takes the discernment of obviousness. Like, I can just tell what's going on. There's no spirits involved here. The second one is so the discerning spirits are very helpful because it's the Spirit helping you understand if something, say somebody was to come through this door, or maybe me, say I'm starting to say something stupid, your Spirit might be saying, hold on, that doesn't align. And it might be using God's word to help you. Hold on, this is what the Bible says. But you're going to be able to discern what's of God and what isn't of God. The word of wisdom is the ability to know and speak forth the wisdom of God, especially in important situations. So it's not just, you know, I really appreciate our elders. I think it's great. I hope someday I'm an elder and all my years of wisdom are there. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about elderly wisdom. We're not talking about wisdom from experience. We're talking about specific wisdom for specific situations. The word of knowledge, the third one of the kind of knowing gifts, is declaring knowledge that could only be revealed supernaturally. I've seen this happen. I've heard of it happening where God will speak into them and be like, that person needs prayer for this, or they're going through this, or this is what's going on in their life. And sometimes they will go to that person and say, this is what God spoke to me. And they'll be like, whoa. And it'll increase faith. So that's the word of knowledge. I heard one guy describe it. There's a really great video I watched on it. A guy down in, whatever, it's a long story. But he described it as like, you start with trying to understand what the Spirit is, then you have this word of knowledge where God will speak to you about, hey, this is what's going on, but the word of wisdom tells you what to do with that information. It might give them wisdom, but with what to do. Sometimes it doesn't. And prophecy can even work off that. So discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all knowing gifts. Then there's the gift of faith, which is the unique ability to trust God against all circumstances. This is different than the fruit of faith in your life or the faith that God gives everyone, okay? This is a special impartation of faith to trust God against all circumstances. It's almost like a situation could come and God could put in your heart, this is going to be fine, I'm with you. And while the situation might not come to fruition for some time, God has put this supernatural gift of faith in you and you're like, I have no doubts because God put it in me. The third one of these is miracles, which is acts of power. It's when the Holy Spirit chooses to override the laws of nature. Sorry, I skipped healings. We'll go healings in a minute. Miracles is these acts of power when the Holy Spirit chooses to override the laws of nature, which is a little different than healings. God's healing power, either given or received. That's interesting. You can get the gift of healings to receive it. And I think that's really closely tied with faith. But so you have faith, healings, and miracles. And then you have the three speaking gifts, which are tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecies. Tongues is a language the speaker does not understand. And just so we are clear, it's not always a real language. It can be a real language, but it also could be an angelic or heavenly language, or it could be a language that is no longer spoken or hasn't been spoken yet. We don't always know. It's not always a human language that we know of today. A language a speaker does not understand that speaks what God wants, and it requires interpretation. The gift of tongues is used in churches and group environments, and it's different than a personal prayer language. If you want to confuse yourself, go read 1 Corinthians 14 and then tell me Paul's not bipolar. But if you start recognizing it, and I've got this, I didn't bring it tonight. We're going to teach a lesson on this someday. If you start recognizing it, Paul says, well, you know, tongues is for the edifying of the person. And then Paul's like three verses later, tongues is for the edifying of the church. Well, you should only do it in private. No, you should do it in public. Oh, it doesn't need interpretation. Oh, it does need interpretation. It's like, Paul, what are you doing? Oh, you're talking about two things. You're talking about the gift of tongues and praying in tongues. And they're very different things. So tongues requires interpretation. The gift of tongues requires interpretation. And what it is we've seen it in our services. And can I just pause and say, like, I think as apostolic sometimes we really lean heavily on the, look at this, we have tongues interpretation in our services. Have you ever wondered why that's all we have? I haven't figured out the answer yet. I'm going to pray that God brings the other gifts to our service and to our lives. The second one is the interpretation of tongues, which is when there is a tongues, then there's an interpretation and there's a process. And the last speaking gift and the last of the nine gifts is the gift of prophecy, which is uttering words in a language of the people. So that would be somebody standing up here speaking English and declaring that which cannot be known by natural means. Prophecy is given by God from the Spirit, and it's not intellect. It's not that somebody knew something. It always aligns with God's word. There's a confusion. Some people think, well, preaching is prophecy. No, that's not in this case. Okay, this is not preaching. Prophecy is uttering words in the language of the people you're speaking with. Okay? So, those are the nine gifts. Let's talk about some application. I think there's a group out there, I don't know who they are, I don't care, it doesn't matter to me, but there's a group of what they would call cessationists that believe that the gifts of the Spirit that Paul mentions are no longer for today. They ceased. They might string and stretch together a verse or two that Jesus said, saying, well, you know, when I'm here, you know, the gifts will be done, blah, blah, blah. But can I tell you something as a church, as in the Bible, sorry, we saw the gifts in Jesus' life. We saw the gifts of the Spirit. Did you know every gift but speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation were present in the Old Testament? All seven of them were. So we saw them in the Old Testament. We saw the gifts of the Spirit in Jesus' life. We saw them after Jesus ascended. We saw them through the apostles in the early church. So anybody that says, well, when Jesus ascended, they're no longer there, read the book of Acts. It's all through the books of Acts. Jesus even said, greater things than these shall ye do. Even the book of Revelation predicts that our present age will end in the greatest display of divine miracles the world has ever seen. We call it the end times. Like, oh, it's getting close to Jesus coming back. There's going to be a great display of miracles. We identify, no joking here, we identify as an apostolic church, and that should include a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches. I think too often we get comfortable. Well, we're apostolic and we look the part and we got a pretty building. But, oh, and we have tongues every now and then. But we're not seeing the power of God move, and we're not seeing the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And that's just, I mean, I'm just speaking for me. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit in my life. And I have at times. I didn't always know it. That's an interesting thing. I didn't always know it when I was sitting with someone and all of a sudden the words came out that I didn't expect, and it just like that changed the situation and God moved, and I'm like, wow, I really got a gift for this. I'm super smart. No, that was God's Spirit. You don't know the number of times I've counseled with somebody, and don't ask me if I'm doing it when you talk to me. And like, I'm looking and I'm nodding, and in my head I'm like, God, you need to tell me what to say. I have no idea what to say. Right? We should expect to see supernatural moves of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our services. Paul talks all through this 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit, it's for three things. Number one, to edify the church, to build up, to mature, to grow, to better the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. In chapter 14, verse 26, it says, let all things be done for edification. Not so that I can look good or you can look good or you can feel like you finally got your spiritual arrival. It's so that the church can be edified. Number one. You notice it didn't say God should be edified. It said so that edify the church. The second thing, we'll get to the God one. Don't worry, I'm not leaving him out. The second one is that it is a witness to believers. The gifts of the Spirit are not just to edify the church, they're also as a witness to believers. And the third thing in 1 Peter 4:11, the third purpose of the gift of the Spirit is to glorify God. And if our goal and our purpose is to glorify God, then we need to have the gifts of the Spirit in our life. It says, by this you will be my disciples if you bear much fruit. But this says, if you want to glorify God, we need to have the gifts of the Spirit. It says, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom being the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The gifts should glorify God. They should edify the church. They should be a witness to believers, and they should glorify God. Paul is constantly redirecting gifts towards love, edification, order, and glorifying God. If you look at the overflow of Paul's message, he starts in chapter 12 and he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. They're important. In verse 13, all of a sudden he goes, love is greater than the gifts of the Spirit. And then in chapter 14, he says, therefore the gifts should operate through love and edification. Let me read 1 Corinthians 12 to finish the chapter and set us up. I know we're long. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So he's just spraying everything. He's like, all the spirituals. You got gifts, you got offices, right? He goes, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? He doesn't say no, it's rhetorical. No. Do all speak with tongues? This is the verse we like to use to say that you're not supposed to speak in tongues. Not everybody's supposed to speak in tongues. But Paul then said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. So you got to read all the verses if you're going to read Corinthians, okay? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He's talking about the gifts here. And he finishes with this. These two lines are so important. And I want to kind of close with these two lines. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. This more excellent way. He finishes chapter 12, says, I show you a more excellent way. And he starts chapter 13, which is read at every wedding. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not, you know. He starts out literally in chapter 13. This is, he goes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, phenomenon, cosmic powers, right? And I have all knowledge, but I have, and though I have all faith, so I can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. We leave that part out when we're going through the marriages, I guess. Paul's more excellent way is love. I was reading, I've never heard this before. I give him full credit. It was a writer in a commentary. His name was John Trapp. And he said this. He said, love is the commodity. Imagine the gifts are like containers, but they mean nothing if they're empty. The value is not in the container, but it's in what fills the container. And Paul said all of the gifts are about love, edifying the church, witnessing to believers, and glorifying God. If it's all about love, then spiritual gifts without love are just empty tools. That's what he's saying in 1 Corinthians 13. I love this. Love is the commodity. If it's not about bringing love from God to people, then it's about you. And it's empty. And so if love is the commodity, we should seek love. We should seek knowing God and his love in our lives, and we should seek loving others. And can I say that when we seek to know God and to love others, part of our mission, then the love of God will pour through us to those around us. He finishes, he talks about in verse in the next chapter, in verse 40, he says, but let all things be done decently and in order. Everything should be done properly. You know, but he also says in verse 33, he's like, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I think Paul was writing this letter because the Corinthian church was seeing the manifestation of the Spirit, and things weren't always going perfectly. Well, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, and they got their prophecy wrong, and that healing didn't work. And all of a sudden, and you know what? Paul didn't write the letter to say, hey, you're all doing it wrong. Stop it, stop it, stop it. No more gifts. He said, no, we want to see gifts, but there has to be order. There might be mistakes. It's okay, but God is not the author of confusion. And so he's encouraging it, but saying, hey, we need to submit to our leaders. He says there's a proper order. There's a really, if you've never heard it, Apostolic Life in the 21st Century by Dr. David K. Bernard. Great podcast. Every episode's from 6 to 18 minutes. Every Monday morning it comes out. Start listening to it now. It'll change your life. It's really great. He had an episode. I listened to it, and I wanted to put it in here. So this is all his credit. And they said, how should we pursue the gifts of the Spirit? That's how I want to end this lesson. How should we pursue the gifts of the Spirit? You know what he didn't say? Go try to heal people. Go try to prophesy and see if you get one right. You know, just get up in church and start speaking in some gibberish and see if someone interprets after you. He didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, number one, we need to develop spiritual disciplines. The first thing, if we want to pursue the gifts of the Spirit in our lives, just like the fruit, people, just like the fruit, we don't pursue the fruit. We pursue who we're connected to. If we want to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, we need to develop spiritual disciplines. We need to seek God and relationship with God. We need to work on knowing God, loving people, and going with purpose. That's what matters. Number one, develop spiritual disciplines. The second thing he said is we should pray and ask God. Paul literally says, desire the best gifts. And say this to God. This is Brother Bernard's words. He said, ask God. Say, God, when the time comes, when the situation arises, I want to be used. Use me according to your will. Develop spiritual disciplines and ask God. And the third thing, this is the most important. Well, maybe not the most. Those are good. I think they're all equally important, actually. The third thing is that we need to find ways to minister to people. The gifts will be used when the need arises. This is Brother Bernard. He said this. He said, the gifts will be used when the need arises. If your focus is on yourself and developing the gifts, it may never happen. But if you, another guy I love, he said this. He said, but if we will put ourselves between God and the needy, his Spirit will flow through us and we will see manifestations of his Spirit in our lives. And so we need to develop our spiritual disciplines. We need to ask God for the gifts of the Spirit, and then we need to put ourselves between God and the needy. Because if it's really about edifying the church and witnessing to believers and glorifying God, it's not going to happen chilling in my basement. You don't hear all the miracles of Jesus when he was just, well, for him it did. They brought the guy to him. I take that back. Right? But you don't hear about the apostles just chilling, playing cards in the restaurant. Right? It's when they were out in the needs that his Spirit moved through them. So we need to develop spiritual disciplines. We need to pray, ask God, and we need to find ways to minister to people. If I could have the musicians come. I think this series, as I summarize, I think this series for me has been challenging. One, this is a lot of information. There should have been more weeks. But I think it was good. I think I don't want to focus on all the gifts. I'm not here to teach you what all the gifts are and how they work. Church, that's like level 201. We're like level zero. We just need to connect with God. We need to get off our seats and focus on how am I connecting with God today? Not am I looking the part, or how do I get this gift, or how do I get this fruit, and how do I look, blah, blah. No. We need to be connected to God. This idea of life in the Spirit is about living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, abiding in the Spirit. I love that verse I read last week. It's really been on my mind a lot. Romans 8, verses 5 through 6. Paul is essentially giving us the shortcut on what it means to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, whatever. He says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul is saying that if you want to have a life in the Spirit, then you need to start setting your minds on the things of the Spirit. It's one thing to sit there and say, God, you know, I want the gifts of the Spirit, but we're not putting our mind on the things of the Spirit. We're not focused on the things of God. We don't read our Bible. We're not spending time in prayer. I love that analogy where it says love is the commodity and the gifts are the container. I worked on this a lot. I couldn't come up with a good one, but it's like me having a boat and saying, God, I want you to blow your Spirit and move my sails across the ocean, and my boat's in my driveway. We have to get the boat in the water first, church. We got to connect back to God. We have to set our minds on the things of the Spirit and get our minds off the things of the flesh, because for carnally minded things is death, but spiritually minded things are life and peace. That's why Paul says in Colossians to set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Life in the Spirit is not accidental. The fruit and the gifts of the Spirit, they're not coincidental. The power of the Spirit is not by chance. They come from setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. Let's stand tonight. Being full of the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit active and developed and growing in your life, seeing the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit in power working in your life, it's not accidental. It's the result of a process. A process of spiritual discipline. A process of committing to prayer and to fasting, of committing to reading God's Word, to serving, to giving, to pursuing holiness. It's when we set our affections on the things of God that the things of God start to work through our lives. But we have to get our boat out of the driveway. Church, we can and should expect to see the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit in our times and in our lives. But what we read from Paul is that Spirit-led people focus on, desire, pursue, and value the things of God. We have to desire, focus on, pursue, and value the things of God. And can I just say, I think we could all do better. Because right now it's really easy to focus on and desire and pursue and value the things of this world. I might not value my phone, but that's where my time is. I really appreciate what Sister Jessica said last Sunday morning. That was difficult, Sister Jessica, but like just sitting for three minutes? That feels like eternity, doesn't it? We don't like to be alone with our thoughts, but Jesus wants to meet you alone with your thoughts. We got to quit focusing on the results, church. We got to quit focusing on the fruit and the gifts, and we have to focus on the process of living in the Spirit daily, intentionally, and continually, and just trusting that the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, they'll follow. Let's take some time and recommit tonight. I don't know where you're at, where you're going to take. You can come to the front. You can pray in your seat as they start singing. Let's take some time to recommit to who we're connected to tonight. To focusing on and desiring and pursuing and valuing the things of God first. And let's watch to see what His Spirit does in us. This is the air I breathe.